ایمان ما به فرشته لازمه که قرآن فرمود کلون آمن به الله و ملائکته.
Our belief in angels is necessary. The Quran said, each one believed in Allah and his angels. This is mentioned in the Holy Quran, Surah 2, Ayah 285. Our faith must be in God, and just we as believe in God, we must also believe in his angels. We do not see them, but the creator of existence said there are beings named angels. They are the administrators of creation and those who arrange each matter. This is mentioned in the Holy Quran, Surah 79, Ayah 5. Disposition is in God's hand. He arranges matter. The Holy Quran, Surah 10, Ayah 31. But God has delegated or entrusted this management to the angels, and the angels do not argue. They do not disobey Allah in what He commands them, but do what they are commanded. This is in the Holy Quran, Surah 66, Ayah 6. Whatever command they received in the past, they carried out, and whatever God commands them in the future, they will also carry out.
و فرشته ها از مقام خدا خوف دارن. یخافون ربهم من فوقهم.
Angels fear their Lord's majesty. They fear their Lord above them, and they do what they are commanded. Holy Quran, Surah 16, Ayah 50. This means their obedience is conscious and based on piety. They perform any task entrusted to them. The Prophet of Islam, peace be upon him and his family, said, "The creation of angels is from light. Indeed, Allah the Mighty, the Majestic, created the angels from light." Angels are from light, just as Satan is from fire, and man is from clay. Angels do not eat, drink, or engage in sexual intercourse. Indeed, angels do not eat, drink, or marry. This is mentioned in a beautiful hadith. Thank you very much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to the program Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short Farsi speech by Hujjatul Islam Qaraati. To find out more about this program and our other programs, please log on to our website, iranradio.ir. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
Good day to all of our listeners from around the world. This is Iran Radio broadcast from Tehran. We start off this hour's program with Round the World with reporters. Listen to fascinating reports from all over the globe as reporters tell us what is happening in their corner of the world. They will be followed by Minbar. The program covers speeches on various subjects by very well-known Islamic scholars and orators. And our final program this hour is The Lantern. The program explains moral teachings from an Islamic perspective through telling of fables and stories rich in morals. Stay with us for this hour.
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Erubashavet, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Poreza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Aminolemi, Kabul.
Shahanabad, Indian administered Kashmir.
Round the World with reporters.
This conference was one of the events organized to remember over 340 members of the Islamic movement who were murdered when soldiers of the Nigerian army attacked the home of Sheikh Ibrahim al-Zazaki and the worship center of the Islamic movement in December 2015. Participants at this conference described the 2015 Zaria massacre as a crime against humanity and of historic magnitude, which was committed by a few agents of the Nigerian state. Hundreds of men, women, and children were shot and buried in mass graves.
I lost 5 children, 3 of which are biological, 2 of which are adopted. They were orphans and we took them in and we are taking care of them. The 5 of them have not been found. Nothing about them were heard of. We just don't know how to explain the situation because of the excruciating pain in our hearts.
Mourners said that identity, faith, and religious conviction cannot be erased through violence. Speakers affirm that the Islamic movement is deeply rooted in an enduring struggle for justice and an unwavering resistance to tyranny, forces that cannot be silenced or extinguished.
The Zaria massacre made our call known to the whole world. Remember, in the all continents of the world, there were demonstrations demanding our religion. We knew what happened. Remember, in India, we went to the action that the Prime Minister of India was saying that, why don't you release that celebrity?
A decade after the heinous massacre in Zaria, members of the Islamic movement continue to await justice and the prosecution of those responsible. Human rights organizations argue that the Nigerian government's attempt to conceal the atrocity reflects a profound disregard for human life and a blatant evasion of accountability.
We expected that indicted individuals and groups should be prosecuted, particularly the military commanders who gave the order. We also expected the government, having been given the names and identities of the victim, to take steps towards restitution and compensation. Nothing has been done.
Participants at this conference said tyrants don't realize that abuse of power weakens their own system. They explained that moral leadership endures as the era of every political actor eventually finishes. Ranjim Abdullahi, Abuja.
South Koreans, together with workers from around the world, marked International Migrant Workers Day at Seoul Station on Sunday. Joining the demonstration was the father of a 25-year-old Vietnamese graduate of a South Korean university, Tu An, who died October 28th trying to evade an immigration crackdown.
The crackdown, which lasted over 3 hours, drove our daughter to her death. As a parent, I want to know the truth about what happened during her final moments on this earth.
The crackdown that claimed Tuan's life aimed to clean up the country prior to its hosting of APEC world leaders nearby.
All workers living in this land should be respected as human beings. No one should be forced to hide or run away in fear.
Nepali Udaya Rai came to South Korea 20 years ago. He suffered discrimination, workplace harassment, and unpaid wages, and says migrant workers' lives need consideration.
Neither employers nor the public understand the dire circumstances of migrant workers and often see them not as workers with rights, but as a temporary labor force to be used by capitalists.
There are about 1 million migrant workers in South Korea, and they do a large portion of the so-called 3D jobs, dirty, difficult, and dangerous. About 100 migrant workers are killed in workplace accidents here each year, and that's about four times the rate of South Korean workers. Attitudes must change, says Udaya.
We must recognize migrant workers as fellow workers and members of society and strive together to protect their labor and human rights.
South Korean labor laws must also change, say critics, who point out that, among other problems, visas for migrant workers essentially tie them to one employer, suppressing their wages, options, and human rights. Frank Smith, Seoul.
A historic day in Iraq, as the Iraqi government officially announced the end of the mandate of the United Nations Assistant Mission for Iraq, UNAMI. After more than 20 years of its presence in the country, this comes in the light of improved security and political stability, which will allow Iraq to transition from direct international support to managing its own internal affairs.
In my view, the presence or absence of UNAMI mission makes no difference to Iraq, especially since this organization receives direct support. Unfortunately, most of the so-called international humanitarian organizations have turned into tools controlled by the United States. The evidence is clear. We have seen repeated interventions in Iraqi affairs. UNAMI had specific objectives, defined mandates, and legal and diplomatic mechanisms. But what we witnessed went beyond that, reaching direct political interference and intervention in Iraq's political decision-making.
Despite UNAMI's long presence in Iraq, political analysts believe the organization did not fulfill its true role. Instead, it influenced and interfered in political decisions, failed to manage affairs effectively, and consistently leaned toward the American side, failing to convey the suffering of the Iraqi people.
The truth is that the United Nations, through its representations worldwide in recent years, has failed miserably to be a clear mirror reflecting the suffering of people. Instead, it has turned into a tool in the hands of the United States of America. In Iraq, the UN representative reflected a specific agenda and exercised a form of imposed guardianship over the Iraqi state. As a result, the mission was only able to achieve the objectives pursued by the United States while attempting to place pressure on the Iraqi state.
This is a historic day for Iraq as UNAMI's mission ends and a new era begins, one characterized by the Iraqi sovereignty and the prevention of interference in internal affairs.
A new phase begins for Iraq with the end of the United Nations Assistance Mission in the country. This doesn't mean the end of cooperation with the UN, and is aimed at further asserting Iraq's sovereignty without any foreign intervention. Nawar Faik, Baghdad.
In the midst of the Israeli regime's ongoing genocide in Gaza, a number of protesters have gathered outside the British Parliament to hold a special Christmas service in honour of all those killed in the Holy Land of Palestine. This vigil seeks to combine prayers for the people of Palestine with outrage at the British government's role in supporting the Israeli regime's genocide against those Palestinians. And attendees particularly want to draw attention to the treatment meted out to both Muslims and Christians by the Jewish extremists inside the Netanyahu administration. The The protesters say that Western media and political elites deliberately obfuscate the existence of Palestinian Christians to make it easier to demonize the victims of Israel's genocide and label them as terrorists not worthy of being humanized.
There's been a lot of work done to basically depict Muslims as terrorists. No one talks about Christian terrorists or Jewish terrorists. When they think of that word, they automatically think Muslim. So that's why that framing exists right now. But we know Christians live in Palestine. We've had vicars talk about how their churches are being bombed. We know Israel attacks them. Even during last Christmas, I remember how churches were bombed into rubbles.
Members of different religious communities were in attendance to commemorate the victims of the genocide. Jewish pro-Palestinian groups concede that politicians like Bezalel, Smotrich, and Itamar Ben-Gvir have deep support amongst the Jewish settlers occupying Palestine.
And their policies are neo-fascist. They talk about annihilating all the Palestinians, the women, the children, everybody. There's no reservation about it. And Netanyahu follows this, partly because he's ideologically inclined.
With churches and mosques being destroyed by the Zionist Israeli regime in the birthplace of Jesus and hundreds of thousands of people murdered, it will take serious work to break through the pro-Israel propaganda and make wider Christian populations understand what's taking place in Palestine to those they claim are their brethren. East Academy, London.
Coordinated protests against the administration of Donald Trump continue, with activists surrounding the White House to deliver a people's indictment against Trump. From the deployment of National Guard troops in American cities to unprecedented illegal immigration raids to the axing of federal funding of government departments, Trump has inspired some activists to remain in a mode of permanent protest.
I'm 76 years old. Okay, I was able to live in the Vietnam era where Nixon had to leave office, okay? Other countries through mass protests, like South Korea, other countries have like massively stood up in nonviolent, very compelling actions to really inspire people and disrupt the workings of what's going on nonviolently. And we can do that.
The protesters say their regular actions are to inspire millions of Americans to return to the nation's capital and nonviolently oust an administration they accuse of being fascist. Economic issues continue to mount in the United States, both structural, like inflation, housing, and healthcare costs, and new, like a Wall Street bust in the artificial intelligence boom. Just 31% approve of Trump's handling of the economy, which is his all-time low, and down from 40% as recently as March.
Because a lot of people don't believe in politics, don't address it, don't see it, but they do see what's happening in the pocketbook, in their own reality. And that's the first thing that people address, Americans address.
Trump's MAGA, or Make America Great Again, base is also showing signs of fracture due to his imperialist attacks on Iran, Gaza, and Venezuela, which contradict his promises to end Washington's foreign meddling and endless wars.
Trump's overall approval rating is 36%, which is down from 42% earlier this year, but which is still rather high for a Western head of state. However, his right-wing economic policies target the upper and not the working class, and he appears to be exacerbating rather than healing America's many cultural divides. Ramin Mazahari, Washington, D.C.
For many Syrians, Israel's latest remarks reinforce a belief that the threat extends far beyond Syria's borders. The statement is widely viewed as an open declaration of hostility toward the region, rather than mere political rhetoric.
This entity threatens the entire Arab world, not just Syria or Palestine. We aren't afraid, but there must be a broader popular response, especially by Arabs. Sadly, people's reactions remain slow, while some governments align with Israel.
Syrians also connect these statements to recent Israeli incursions in the south, including the attack on Beit Jin. Many view these events as early indicators of a dangerous shift that may eventually demand decisive action.
This regime won't stop at Palestine. It wants full control of the region in order to control all the resources of its people. It has been expanding in southern Syria for over a year now. Resistance is our natural and legitimate response by any means available.
Palestinians see that any confrontation with Israel is part of their struggle, as they have always shared destiny with Syrians. They considered this a common struggle.
We must confront this enemy. We know from our experience as Palestinians that it only responds to force and retreats only when pressured. Diplomacy and agreements have no effect because its nature is rooted in violence. As people and governments, we must resist until all occupied lands, from the Golan to Palestine, are reclaimed.
From Damascus to the southern countryside, Syrians say these threats only strengthen their sense of unity and resolve. As tensions rise, many insist they are prepared to face any challenge to their sovereignty and future. Ali Muhammad, Damascus.
In Tehran, excitement is running high as the 19th Cinema Verite International Documentary Film Festival has opened its doors. Screenings have begun, drawing filmmakers, critics, and enthusiasts.
This year's festival presents a wide range of films with diverse themes, which is one of its main strengths. 68 films compete in the national section, and nearly 70 take part in the international section. We have also added a new category focusing on Iran, its rich history, and the 12-day war. Many of the strongest works we receive belong to this section.
One of the most remarkable features of this year's festival is the unprecedented presence of some of the most iconic documentary figures. With fresh visual styles and bold storylines, their works represent the new generation shaping the future of nonfiction cinema. The festival's international section this year stands out for its high-profile selections.
I submit to this festival because I read in their website they have this very strong care about human rights and children's rights, also about women filmmakers. So that's why I decided to submit, and then they select my film for the it's in the international competition.
Meanwhile, the Iranian section also reflects the nation's recent history.
This festival is the highest-ranking documentary festival in Iran and enjoys international prestige. That is why I chose to premiere my film here. It is a biographical documentary about a man with a clear vision, someone who left a lasting impact not only on our region, but far beyond.
This year's edition is defined by diversity. Works shaped by social issues, human stories, wartime experiences, and innovative visual approaches.
With celebrated veterans, ambitious newcomers, and international premieres, the 19th Cinema Verite Festival sets the stage for one of the most competitive and closely watched editions yet. Yisum Shahmadi, Tehran.
A diverse range of programs. Youth. Spirituality. Culture. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now we will listen to the speech of Sheikh Osama Abdul Ghani,
So dear brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Now brothers and sisters, we discovered something last time I was talking. This is just a preliminary. I want to finish it so we can move on to the other topics. What we discovered last time was this. Shaytan, Iblis, when it comes to us as believers, practicing believers, he doesn't have the same techniques or tools to use on us. Now, he's enemies with the whole world. He's enemies on with us as well. But he can't get a practicing Muslim, a believer, a mu'min or a mu'mina, someone who takes Islam serious, to get out and start partying, to start drinking, right? That's not the test. However, Iblis can do something else. Example, Hezbollah, Israel, and the empire, right? Because it wasn't just Israel. The empire was fighting against Hezbollah. The empire. And they got their teeth kicked in. They saw they couldn't handle Hezbollah. They also have not been able to defeat and uproot Hamas. So what did they do? They went to Syria. They switched techniques. We'll strangle the resistance in a different way. Iblis, if he sees you and I, and we aren't the people who will commit those kind of major sins, does that mean Iblis says, okay, well, I throw in the towel then? Or is there another technique for Iblis? Or it's possible that he could be playing chess and we're playing checkers? Is it possible that Iblis could know another technique? And if this technique happens to the Muslims, I can get them to do a lot of mistakes. For instance, what could Iblis possibly do? We talked about this last time. It could possibly be the case that a practicing Muslim, you and I, a practicing Muslim can forget Allah. The practicing Muslim can possibly forget Allah. What can Iblis do? Iblis could do a very sinister technique. What could Iblis do? Iblis could make me, as a practicing Muslim, find the dunya to be very important. The dunya, in my eyes, is very kabir. I don't fall for the regular, I don't commit sins, I don't lie, I wear the hijab, I pay khums. What about the dunya? Is the dunya, in my eyes, is it a big thing? And we talked the other time about, let's not limit the dunya is just money. And no. There's a lot of, we looked at the hadith of Imam Sadiq, there were a lot of ways that a practicing Muslim who makes salat and prays and fasts and zakat and khums, that Muslim actually considers the dunya to be very big. What's the big deal about considering the dunya big? Iblis knows a trick. It's impossible for someone to consider the dunya to be grand, important, to be broken up by the dunya, and also consider Allah to be kabir. The victory of victories for Iblis. What did I do? I couldn't suggest that this mu'min or mu'mina, that they go over and commit these major sins. I did something much more deadly, a much more horrifying spiritual disease. I got the mu'min or mu'mina to believe the dunya is big. Because I know what happens next. It doesn't work that way. It's impossible to think that the dunya is big, and also think Allah is great. So, the disease that we're dealing with, the reason the believers aren't ready for the Mahdi, and I'm addressing myself, the reason that we're not ready yet, we're not out of the woods yet, is that there is a disease that infected a lot of the Muslims. This is why we all need to buy in. This isn't something you can do. Tell the staff. No. What do we do? we Muslims, unfortunately, we consider Allah small and unimportant. That's the disease. The results are very clear. But that's not the case. I consider Allah be very great. Allah's my everything. Oh, okay. Well, if Allah's my everything, if I really consider Allah to be Kabir and Azim, those 10 things that I mentioned were traits. In all honesty, right now, do I have any anxiety or I have no anxiety at all? We talked about 10 different traits. As a believer, as a practicing person, right now, I have all of those things that were mentioned. Alhamdulillah, I walk and go home. Or no, those things are real. Those are not the description of who I am. If I'm honest with myself, there is room for growth. Let me tell you a story that's not true, inshallah. They said once, this guy, he saw a little boy and he was sitting on the porch. It's not true. He was sitting on the porch and there was a really big, vicious-looking dog next to him. So the man asked him, he said, "Does your dog bite?" Little boy said, "No, my dog doesn't bite." So the man tried to pet the vicious dog and almost took off half of his arm. And he was so angry and he turned to the little boy and he said, "I thought you said your dog doesn't bite." The little boy said, "That's not my dog." So as a mu'min, yes, lip service, I can give the greatest speech about Allah. That's different to really having embraced Allah as Kabir, as Azim. Because if I did, then there are certain characteristics that we would have. So, this, brothers and sisters, this Fatimiya, we realize that it wasn't a quick fix. It wasn't like, okay, well, tell me the three things. I do this, and I do this, and it's not like that. This is a journey. Yes, we took some steps last Fatimiya. The way that these lessons were actually arranged, the idea was that between speeches, the person would take 2 or 3 days and try to just absorb the material. We don't have the opportunity to do that. We have to go through them, and we'll go through them as best we can. But to absorb these and think about them. So, what we're doing is a technique that we learn from the ulama of akhlaq. There's a technique that they have, that they've taught us, from the ahadith of Ahlul Bayt. Something that they've gained. What's the technique? The ulama tell us this. If you and I want to develop a certain trait, I want to become this way, that way, you're encouraged to read those ahadith to talk about the results of that trait. When I, as a believer, hear, for instance, about Kabir and Azim, that if I can really truly embrace Allah as Kabir and Azim, all of these different benefits are there, then my nafs starts to long for it.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
روحي كريم عظيم عليم حليم حكيم متين غفور شكور ودود
Stories from the Past. Stories from the lives of the infallibles. Stories from different parts of the world. The Lantern.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, dear brother and sister, salam. So, welcome to a new story. Yes, this is another episode of Lantern, and we have a new story entitled Mature in Intellect. Welcome to Lantern. With the intention of suppressing a group of rebellious enemies existing around Mecca and Medina, the noble prophet, peace be upon him and his family, readied a rapid strike commando until for the purpose of advancing secretly upon the enemies in the darkness of the night and overcoming them, and appointed a youth from the tribe of Hudayl as the commander of this unit. A shallow-minded person remonstrated, saying, "Why have you appointed a youth as our chief? We refuse to obey his orders. You ought to have appointed an elderly person as the chief and commander of the army." The noble prophet said, "O shallow-minded person, although he is a youth, nevertheless, he possesses a strong heart and a sound intellect, whereas the elders that you talk about, although they possess white beards and apparently should be given the leadership, however, their hearts are dark as pitch. On numerous occasions, I have put this youth to test and found him to be mature in intellect. Elderly in age but lacking in intellect yields no benefit. Strive to the maximum extent possible to be elderly in the intellect and religion, for leadership is determined not by age but by intelligence, reflection, and a pure, luminous heart." Now we'll listen to the continuation of this program, Lantern, and the important points of this nice story.
We seek refuge from Satan the cursed in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, dear audience. Welcome to a new episode of Lantern from IRIB English Radio. This is Zainab Musavi, and in Lantern, what we do is to listen to a set of religious stories and then try to talk and explore some more points that we can take out of these stories and make use of them in our daily life. Well, maturity is often imagined as something that arrives with age, as though the passing of years automatically sharpens insight and deepens character. Yet the reality of life, history, and revelation tells a different story. True maturity is not tied to the number of years that a person lives. It is tied to the clarity of their intellect, the depth of their understanding, and the sincerity of their hearts. Age does not protect anyone from immaturity. It only exposes it. The Holy Book of Quran emphasizes this principle when it states, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إنما يتذكر أولي الألباب. Only those who possess intellect will take heed. Surah Ar-Ra'd, verse number 19. So God does not say only the elders, nor says only those of many years, but says those who possess intellect. It is an open invitation for every person at every stage of life to grow through awareness. One of the most important signs of maturity is the ability to control one's impulses. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, "Aslu al-aql kadhmu al-ghayr." The root of intellect is suppressing anger. Notice how he ties intellect directly to self-control. A person might be old in years but react with impulsiveness of a child. Another may be as young age but capable of patience and calm. This difference reveals the depth of their intellect. Humility is another hallmark of maturity. The mature person knows that nobody possesses perfect understanding and that growth requires admitting ignorance. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam very beautifully says, Al-alimu man arafa qadra nafsihi. The truly knowledgeable person is the one who knows the limits of their own self. Knowing one's limits is not weakness, it is the beginning of genuine growth. Okay, let's go for a short recess and we will be back in no time. Under the light of lantern, we'll look at the story, which indicates a moral aspect of our life. When we speak of maturity, we speak of the ability to see beyond the moment, to act with wisdom instead of impulse, to choose clarity over confusion, and to live with purpose. A mature person seeks truth even when it challenges their comfort. They listen more than they speak. They think before they respond, and they see the dignity of others as clearly as their own. This is why the Imams alayhim as-salam repeatedly emphasize that the greatest gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a human being is intellect. It is through intellect that we recognize guidance, distinguish right from wrong, and understand the consequences of our choices. Imam Musa al-Kadhim alayhi as-salam said, Al-aqlu ma'ubida bihi ar-Rahman wa iktusiba bihi al-Jannah. Intellect is that by which the merciful is worshipped and paradise is attained. Not adulthood, not age, intellect. So the message is clear. Maturity is available to anyone willing to cultivate their mind and heart. It grows in reflection, in humility, in patience, and in sincerity. The years of life give us time to grow, but they do not guarantee growth. Growth comes only from choice. Now, let's remember that a young person with understanding may be more mature than an elder without it. And an elder with a humble, reflective heart may surpass the young person in clarity and wisdom. What matters is not when we were born, but how we chose to think, how we chose to live, and how we chose to grow. Okay, well, dear listeners, it seems that our time for this episode of Lantern has come to its end. I really hope that you have enjoyed listening to us. And until another episode, I bid you farewell and may Allah protect you all. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Dear brother and sister, thank you very much for your company. This is the end of this episode of Lantern.
until a new story fi aman Allah.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
Good day to all of our listeners. This is Iran Radio broadcast from Tehran. Here are some interesting facts about Islam. Muslim scholar Ibn al-Haytham, known as Al-Hazen in Europe, who was born in 965 AD, formulated the scientific method and has been referred to as the world's first true scientist. He is also often regarded as the first theoretical physicist, making a significant contribution to the theory of light and optics. Additionally, he developed what is called celestial mechanics, which led to the eventual work of Europeans such as Copernicus, Galileo, Johannes Kepler, and Isaac Newton. We'll listen to the continuation of Iran Radio. Thank you for joining us. We start this hour's programs with our news bulletin. They will be followed by Islamic upbringing. The program aims to answer frequently asked questions regarding children and adolescents and their upbringing, of course. Our varied radio productions feature is our final program this hour.
It's too late. If you haven't spoken up yet, it might be too late for you. This is your call to say something and not let history judge you for what you should have done.
There once was a day when we were shadows in the street, paper thin excuses crumbling at our feet. Screens glowed brightly, selling fear and doubt. The truth bled quietly, seldom spoken out. But today it's on the news again that the Zionist entity has murdered Palestinians and burned their city. Savagery is in their blood, genocide their game. The world is watching live as they enter the hall of shame. Don't they see nations waking up? Don't they see people rising up? Don't they see that we won't bow? It's too late to stop us now. It's too late to stop us now. It's too late. Can't you see the land is breaking? It's too late. Can't you see the children dying? It's too late. Let's not be judged by history for what we should have done to save humanity. It's too late. Gives the go-ahead, then it sends in bombs. Israel calls it self-defense and murders without qualms. Since when has killing children become a source of pride? Silence must be broken if you want to turn the tide. It's time we made the right.
right choice, our lives may be on the line. It's time we raised our voice, chanting free, free Palestine. The police can do what they want to do, detain one or two. But thousands of millions are coming through, a move they cannot undo. Don't they see nations waking up? Don't they see people rising up? Don't they see that we won't bow? It's too late to stop us now. It's too late to stop us now. It's too late. Can't you see the land is breaking? It's too late. Can't you see the children dying? It's too late. Let's not be judged by history for what we should have done to save humanity. It's too late. Oh, it's too late. Oh, it's too late. Oh, it's too
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Israel carries out fresh attacks in Gaza in violation of a ceasefire, and while the Palestinian territory is reeling from a humanitarian crisis. The UK unemployment rate has risen above 5%, with young Brits bearing the brunt of job cuts. And U.S. President Donald Trump sues BBC over edited clips of a speech that he made back in January of 2021. Hello everyone, thank you for joining us here on Blue World News. Our top story, repeated Israeli violations and harsh humanitarian conditions. This is a summary of what Palestinians are enduring in Gaza, where a ceasefire was supposed to put an end to regime's attacks. Israeli forces have shelled locations near the Al Burej refugee camp in central Gaza. Fresh airstrikes hit Gaza City's Al-Tufa district as well. Attacks come as Gaza saw heavy rains once again, while still reeling from the consequences of Storm Byron, which battered the strip for days. According to Gaza's self-defense, 90% of tents have been completely flooded in Gaza City's Sheikh Radwan neighborhood. Fear is also widespread among Palestinians over the collapse of buildings as a result of the heavy rains. A cross-party and an independent delegation of city councillors from Northern Ireland has traveled to London to meet with the families of jailed Palestine Action Hunger